Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. PA here. So glad you would spend your Sunday morning with us here at Every Nation New Jersey. And listen, I know it's been an intense week, but I want you to know this, that God has a message of hope for you this morning. And so listen, I drove in all day yesterday. My wife and I, we were returning from visiting my daughter Elizabeth and her new boyfriend, which I got to meet. And for the record, he's a big dude. He's like 6'4", 6'5". But just for the record, and so everyone on Facebook Live can know, I still think I could take him. But having said that, I got to tell you, I was so proud of this young man. He was very attentive to my daughter. And you know, that's what we want to do here at Every Nation New Jersey, that as pastors and leaders, and even as a church, we just want to be attentive to your needs and to what you, how we can serve you best. And so just remember, if you have any prayer requests, you can just email your prayer requests in at info@everynationnj.org. Or as always, you can remain after our broadcast today on our Facebook Live feed, and you can pray with a virtual prayer counselor. And so we would love to pray for you and serve you. As well, if you need to meet with a pastor, you can meet with us virtually live immediately following the service in what we just call virtual hospitality. And so myself, Pastor Dottie, and a few other leaders will be there. And so if you'd like to chat, talk about the message, receive prayer or counselor, you can join us. The information for our Zoom virtual conference call will be made available to you at the end of today's message. And so look forward to meeting with you and praying with you. And then lastly, I just want to remind us that we can be faithful in our giving, in our tithing and our giving virtually. And listen, I don't have like a big story for you this morning or a big tithe push, but could I just be real with you this morning and just say, speak to you not as a pastor per se, but to speak to you just as a Christian. I just want to tell you this. I so believe in the tithe that from the moment my conversion to Jesus Christ at the age of 12 years old, I don't know why, I just believe that the tithe is a way that we honor God and that God can honor us in the earth. And I so want that for you. Let me just give you a quick scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, says this. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." And so, as always, there's three ways that you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just click on the giving icon, or you can give via the PushPay texting app. That's the one that my family and I, we love to use, and you just text ENCNJ to the number 77977. And lastly, you can give via mail as well, and just send in your tithe or your offering to 101 Gibraltar Drive in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And God bless you as you give. So listen, I hope you got your cup of coffee. You're ready to dive into the Word of God this morning. And listen, as a church, we believe in making disciples. And so just to let you know, Sean Hopkins, one of our elders here, an African-American gentleman, a good-looking dude. And so he had to disciple me after last week's message and let me know that when African-American brothers, they do the head nod, it's not down, Pastor, it's up. So I'm learning and growing. So thank you, Sean, for discipling me. But listen, I want to ask you this. You know, during our quarantine and through this whole pandemic, and we've kind of seated at home, I know many of us have been doing a lot of Netflix binging. And if you don't know what Netflix is this morning, you can just Google that. But if you don't know what Google is, I can't help you this morning, okay? But come on, we've all got caught up in this Netflix where we promised ourselves we're just going to watch one episode, just one episode. And the next thing you know, it was so enticing that it asked you, hey, would you like to watch another? And what do? okay, just one more. It's kind of like that Lay's potato chip. You can't just eat one. And before you know it, you've been watching 8 hours straight of television. You've grown a beard, and your kids are graduating, you know? And so, but there's something about our story, like that Netflix episode, that is very compelling and enticing. And so if you will just amuse me a little bit and use your imagination. So like the Christian story, our story is epic. And so the first episode starts out as creation. And there's this dark void that covers everything. But then out of that darkness speaks this thundering voice, light be. And out of the darkness blasts out this explosive light. And then from that light, this same voice, the word of God, just begins to create on the canvas of creation. And suddenly from God's mouth to creation, beauty is formed. The skies, the oceans, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. And there's this glorious montage of beauty and majesty is formed right before our eyes. And it's so glorious that the book of Job says that the angels shouted for joy. And just when you think that God had crescendoed in this creation narrative, what happens? Suddenly everything slows down and we see God begins to form something from the dust of the earth. And he forms humanity, the man and the woman, and they complete one another perfectly. And there's this beautiful love story between man and woman and God and humanity. And we walk together in this beautiful garden called Eden. But just before the credits are about to roll, we see in the backdrop an enormous black slithering serpent slither off into the garden, and then boom, the credits roll. And you're like, what was that snake all about? And so suddenly we see that the next episode available is called Fall. And you're like, I can't go to sleep. I got to see what happens next. And so as we begin to tune in to our story, we see what happens is we see the serpent inches ever so closely to the man and to the woman until they become at ease with the serpent. We would find out later on that this serpent was also known as the dragon or the devil or Satan. It means the accuser and the adversary. And he would very subtly begin to pull and tear away at the fabric of God's creation, at the fabric of the relationship between the man and the woman and man and his God. And slowly, over time, humanity would begin to believe the lie of the serpent until one day he would rebel against God and he would eat of the forbidden fruit. And suddenly, the moment Adam and Eve bit into that suddenly that beauty, that majesty, that glory, it all began to crumble in a moment of time. And in that moment, we hear the echoing words of the good Creator God. Adam, what have you done? And from that, suddenly darkness begins to creep in once again to the creation and to the human heart. But before darkness totally settles in, what would happen? We would hear once again the voice of God. And he would say this, the seed of this woman will crush the serpent's head. Credits roll. And now we get to episode 3. And now none of us are going to go to bed because episode 3, it says redemption. Listen, I need closure. I got to see what happens in the story. And so we tune in. Episode 3, redemption, is this. And it begins by just this montage of humanity, human civilization. But yet we see sinful devastation. And there's this continuous cycle where we would get just right on the edge of Eden once again, and then sinful humanity would bring it all down as they had sinned against God and against man. And so there's this vicious cycle. And as we roll through time, through Moses, through the Assyrian Empire, through David, through Alexander the Great, and finally we get the Roman Empire, and out of the backwoods, the wilderness of Israel, out comes this Jewish rabbi, and out of the wilderness, he would yell out, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And suddenly, with those words, it pierced the heart of the serpent and filled the heart of man with hope, with expectation. But then our story would take a very, very strange turn. That this hero rabbi, his name is Jesus. It means salvation or hero. He would be hoisted up on a cross, brutally beaten. And then just before he breathes his last breath, he yells out these words in a loud voice. He says, "It is finished." And once again, the darkness closed in over the earth and over God's creation. And suddenly it just goes black and silent. And in that silence and in that darkness, there would be a piercing of a very small light. And this light would begin to pulsate and get bitter, bigger and bigger and bigger, until the scripture records that on the third day, the earth began to shake, and this tomb that held the body of Jesus Christ could no longer hold it anymore. And the stone is burst open. And with that, Jesus had destroyed the serpent. He had destroyed death, hell, and the grave. And suddenly, hope had returned once again to humanity. And then what happens? The credits begin to roll. But that's not the end, because the next episode is something called restoration. Restoration. And listen, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is this idea of restoration. See, because that episode's not available yet. Because you and I are actively living that episode right now, that God has called us to restore what was broken in the fall. And so listen, Every Nation New Jersey, in our staff meeting this week, I was just reaching out to our staff and just asking them, hey, what do our people need? Like, what do people need from the Lord and the Word of God this week? And it was unanimous throughout everybody. They're like, PA, our people need hope. And if you remember, like, biblical hope is not, man, I hope this works out, but rather it's a confident expectation of good. I referenced a few weeks back that the scripture says this, that hope deferred, it makes a heart sick. And that word deferred, it means hope that begins to shrivel or dry up. It makes the heart sick. And so we can see it's incumbent upon us that we have to continue to tend to the hope of our soul. And here's the great news, is that hope is a person. It is our God. Hope is rooted in God. Let me read for you Romans 15. The Apostle Paul will remind us of this in Romans 15, 13. Paul says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." And so we see our hope is rooted in Almighty God. That the book of Hebrews would say this, that hope is anchored in heaven. It's the anchor of our soul. And so it's the thing that stabilizes us through the difficulty and through the ups and downs of living in a Genesis 3 world. And so here's what we can be confident in, and our hope can be rooted in, is this, that at the center of the universe, despite what circumstances and chaos is going on around us, that there is a sovereign, good, loving God that is seated on the throne of heaven. And he's called the author and the finisher of our story. And in fact, you know that God Almighty, he lets us in to his story. And so just a little update, just a point of transparency and confession. I'm not proud of this, but as we've been in the pandemic here and there's been no sports, little entertainment, The sports networks have been scrambling for content. And so what they've been doing is sports networks have been showing old games, and I mean really old games, because they showed several of my old games from the NHL. And if you're asking, did I watch them? Heck yeah, I watched them. And so I can remember I'm tuning in MSG Network, and they were showing some of my games. We were playing against the New York Rangers. I was with the Hartford Whalers, and two things became crystal clear as I watched. Number one is I wasn't that good of a player. And number two was this, I couldn't believe that I was getting anxious and kind of nervous as I was watching the game until suddenly I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he's like, hey, dum-dum, you know the end result, like you know what happens. And you know, that is God's reality. That God is not in his throne room with the Holy Spirit and the Son, God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and they're not wringing their hands going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Holy Spirit, well, how could you allow this COVID-19 thing to get loose in the earth? Look at that. No, he's not wringing his hands. God's not surprised. He's not looking to the Son and saying, Jesus, have you seen the economy in the United States? What are you going to do about that? No, he's not wringing his hands or worried. See, he is the author and the finisher, and we can anchor our hope in the reality of the sovereignty and the goodness of God, because he is the author and the finisher. And if you read the end of our story in the book of Revelations, I want to just once again fill your heart with hope. And confidence in a good expectation is this. Do you know, in the end, racism loses. Because I see every nation, tribe, and tongue seated around the throne of God. And in all our unique differences are somehow going to add to a dimension of the glory of God as we worship. Is that amazing? That let me tell you this, that COVID, cancer, sickness, and disease, that at the end of the story, it is annihilated and wiped out by the word of God and by the breath of God. And we will receive new resurrected bodies that never get sick, never get tired, never grow weary. Mine's going to have six-pack abs, all right? How about this? Is that, and the story tells us this, that God's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. And here's what that means, is that every bit of suffering, loss, and sorrow here in this life, suddenly in the next is going to become what C.S. Lewis would say, suddenly these sorrows become untrue. And somehow, some way, our sorrow here is going to increase our joy in heaven, in the new heaven and the new earth. And so this is our confident expectation for good. And I pray that waters the soul, waters your hope. But also listen, as followers of Jesus Christ, our hope isn't just in some far off, distant future, but rather our hope is this, bringing the kingdom of God here to earth, restoring Eden, bringing heaven to earth. Remember that Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is restoration. You know, the New Testament, it was written in Greek, and there's several words for time, and one of those is chronos. It's where we get chronological, and it just means a sequential time. But there's another Greek word, and it's the word kairos. And kairos is a moment in time, a particular moment. So I'll illustrate it this way. So years ago, dear friends of ours, their only daughter was getting married in Connecticut, and I did not do the wedding. So you know what that means? I got to enjoy the wedding. And listen, everything kind of went off in sequence, walking the bride down the aisle. They said their vows. They did the reception. Then they did the reception afterwards. And so chronologically, everything took place. But there came a moment in time during this wedding. So it was the end of the reception, and kind of it was the last song. And so as people filled the dance floor, and yes, even your pastor and his wife took to the dance floor, and as the band began to play the Billy Joel's The Piano Man, I don't even like that song that much. But as it was going on, suddenly everyone began to surround the bride and the groom. And these strangers that I was dancing with, we formed this circle. No one even said it. It's just this organic thing that's beginning to grow around the bride and the groom. And I clasp the hands of some stranger next to me and have my wife on the other hand. And we begin to sway in back and forth. And suddenly it hit me. I looked at the stranger. I'm like, we're having a moment. This is a moment. We're having a moment. And what we were experiencing was a Kairos moment. And church, this is our Kairos moment. This a specific time that God has given us as a church, and we are going to rise up to it. Let me tell you, in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says this. Jesus had a moment. It says in Romans 5, 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, at the right Kairos, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, Moses had a moment that he had this unction from the Lord that he was to be a deliverer, except he tried to do it at the wrong time. And the Bible's clear that he killed an Egyptian with his bare hands, and suddenly his whole life began to unravel, and he wound up running off into the wilderness for some 40 years. But after those 40 years, at the Kairos moment, a burning bush yet not consumed, the audible voice of God speaks to him. It's time. It's time to deliver. Listen, there's this amazing quote. I love it from Pastor Craig Groeschel. He says this. He says, if it's not God's time, you can't force it. But when it is God's time, you cannot stop it. And Every Nation New Jersey, this is our time. If you remember Esther in your Bible, Queen Esther, I'm going to let you in a little secret, too. Do you know that Esther is Kim Frias' real first name? It's Esther, and Esther means star. And Kim, I know you're watching this. You are our star here at Every Nation New Jersey. We love you. Queen Esther, if you remember, she had her Kairos moment that the wicked Haman had declared genocide for the people of God. And then Mordecai, the uncle of Queen Esther, approaches her, and he says these famous words in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. And he says this. He says, for if you keep silent at this time, at this Kairos, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom, here's the money line, for such a time as this, for such a Kairos as this, that was her Kairos moment. And church, this is our Kairos moment, that that God has saw fit to have our church be present at this time, that racial tension is through the roof, because there's been, for 400 years, there's been this deep, deep wound of racism and injustice, and we've tried to cover it over, ignore it, and it just keeps surfacing to the top. And here's the reality. I just feel so privileged and so honored that God would allow me to be alive at this time, a time when we can finally address this wound, and we can bring healing by faith and the Word of God and by humbling our hearts. And so, another story is many of you have heard of Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. It's amazing to me how now he has just become like increasingly more brilliant kind of. And so I heard this story and it just touched me so much. And I think it's appropriate for where we are today. But do you know that Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, he did something quite controversial in his time, that he had Francois Clemens, an African-American man, he invited him during this time of unbelievable unrest in our nation. There were riots going on, civil rights activism was going on, and yet Fred Rogers invited Francois Clemens to come join him, and he was going to play, oddly enough, Officer Clemens, a police officer, on his show. And they would have this 30-year run with one another, a black man and a white man together, loving and honoring and respecting one another. And Francois Clemens, he recalls this one episode. Mr. Rogers would end it every episode by saying this: "You make every day a special day by just you being you." And when Fred Rogers said those words, he peered to Francois Clemens. And after they were shooting the episode, Clemens approached Mr. Rogers and he said, "Fred, I felt like you were speaking those words to me today." And Mr. Rogers said this. He says, "Fred, or Francois, I've been speaking these words to you for the last 30 years, but today you finally heard me." And you know, I think that's where we're at today, that our African-American and men and women of color have just been speaking for years, but for whatever reason, now suddenly they've been saying it, but now we've had ears to hear. It's amazing if you think about everything leading up to this Kairos moment, is that there's a global pandemic. There's no entertainment, there's no sports, there's nothing to distract us, nothing to be busy about as life has slowed down, work has ceased. And so normally when we see things we don't like or we want to ignore, we can just get busy with life, busy with entertainment, busy with work, busy, 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 and we can distract ourselves from the harsh, ugly reality. But suddenly that all ceased for a moment, and into that quiet calm is interjected the image of George Floyd. And we couldn't avoid it. We couldn't ignore it. We had to deal with the ugly reality. And so I want to say those words again, but I feel honored by God that we can be a part of this Kairos moment, this moment of bringing restoration back to our country. So I have a word of hope. Listen, if you're in law enforcement this morning, I'm so grateful for you. And listen, I know we have wonderful officers that attend and are members of our church. And I just want to remind you, how amazing is it that God would allow you to be a part of the solution and the answer to things that are taking place, that he's placing you as an officer of the law to be salt and light and to bring change to wherever God's placed you. And so I want to encourage you with that. And so listen, as a church, I want to give us some practical steps that we can do as we become a part of God's restoration and just a stamping out of systemic injustice and racism. And so here's what we're going to do. Number one is we're going to pray. You know, prayer is not a last resort. It's our first move. And we're going to continue to pray and to pray and to press in. We're just coming off a week of prayer and fasting. I believe that God Almighty is on the move. Number two, we're going to do this. We're going to educate one another. As a church, we're putting together a reading list that resources that you can go and get for yourself and understand the history of our country, the history of slavery, the plight of our men and women of color. And so we're going to make that list available to you. We're also in the midst of doing having a small group discussions that we can discuss race in our nation. And so just be on the lookout for all of that. Number three, and I think this is unbelievably practical and yet crucial, is that you need to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. You need to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. So I'll share with you this, shared this story before, but back in, before this pandemic, we used to have these things called subways. And I can remember my daughter and I one time were riding the New York subway. I believe it's the one train. It's just packed to the gills. And as we're in there, I'm holding on to those nasty poles, which Now you're like, oh, but my daughter, she leans into me and she's hanging on to me. And I'm like, wow, this is a Kairos moment. My daughter's kind of loving on me. And then I realized she just didn't want to touch the nasty poles. But listen, I'll take it, all right, as a parent. And so my daughter's leaning in, and suddenly interjected into this packed subway car comes three men. And everyone, if you've ridden in the New York subway, you realize everyone's got their head down and no one wants to make eye contact. But the moment they came in, all eyes turned on them, and suddenly they addressed us like this. Brothers and sisters, we're not here to ask for any money from you or anything, but we're here to bless you with a song from our Lord Jesus Christ. And they began to belt out in song. And people are like watching and like, I'm thinking once again, this is a moment. And they begin to sing, and suddenly a woman from across the subway car, she joins in and she starts singing this gospel song, until the guy across from me, he starts singing, until the whole car has joined in and this worship session has broken out. And I'm like, what in the world is happening? And then the moment we pulled to our train stop, boom, the music stopped and they said, God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. They exited the subway car. Suddenly the doors closed. Boom! And everyone did this. And they went right back to ignoring one another, being miserable. And see, but those men, they changed the spiritual temperature in that subway car. They didn't wait to see what everybody else was feeling or saying. They said, nope, I'm bringing restoration. Where I go, I'm bringing the kingdom of God with me. And that's what we're called to do. That when we gather with friends and in our workplaces and wherever we go, we are agents of reconciliation, and we're going to speak the truth in love, and we're going to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. And then here's the last thing I want to point out to us is this, is we're going to walk in what's called the Micah Mandate. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, the Micah Mandate. We get that term from back on the verge of World War I, as the United States is sending their troops over to Europe. The New York Bible Society, they actually gave free Bibles to every one of our soldiers. And they asked President Theodore Roosevelt, they said, President, would you please write something in all of the Bibles of your soldiers? And so he wrote what's come to be known as the Micah Mandate. And he actually, they wrote Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And he says that it says this. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. That is the Micah Mandate. And that is what we're going to do and how we carry ourselves here at Every Nation New Jersey. So we're going to be a people that do justice. We are going to walk and do justice. Listen, if you don't believe it, that like, listen, humanity deep within us, we love justice. We love it. And if you don't believe me, just Google how many court and law TV shows there are on TV. Like I lose count from them. Like we got Judge Judy, Judge Brown, Judge Wapner. We have something called the Hot Bench. We have divorce court, people's court, on and on you can go. Okay, we have Law and Order, all these different law shows. Why? Because we absolutely love justice or the idea of justice. But sometimes to do justice, it can be uncomfortable. It can be unpopular. But this is what God requires of us, to do justice. And so we're going to be a just people. But let me also mention this. He also says that we are to love kindness. We're to love kindness. And listen, now as we're on this journey to pursue unity and harmony in our land, can I just tell you this? Is there's going to be moments when we just can't get to agreement. And when we disagree, how are you going to act? Because the Lord, this is what he demands of us, that we would be a kind people. Listen, I'm not naive. Like, there's going to become times when, be it as Americans, be it as black, white, whatever color you might be, that there's not going to be agreement. And then are those people going to become enemies? or are you going to be a man or a woman that can disagree, but you act in kindness because they're a brother or they're a sister? And so we're going to love kindness as a people. And then lastly, we're going to walk humbly with God. I said this for years, and I just so believe it's true, and I think I have the Bible to back me up, is that self-righteousness and pride, it reeks in the nostril of God. Like, it reeks. God says, I'm going to know the proud from afar. And so Every Nation New Jersey, we're going to walk humbly with God. We're not going to lean against the cross and be self-righteous and tell everybody else that they got the problem, but it's going to begin with us kneeling before the cross and being a humble people. And we're going to take care of the log in our own eye before we start addressing the speck in our brother's eye. And so we're going to walk as a humble people. And as we do that, as we do justice, we love kindness, and as we walk humbly with God, we will be an uncommon people, and we will be agents of restoration. Last story before I close is this. I want to share the story of Robert Gould Shaw. You probably know him if you've seen the movie Glory. If you remember that, Matthew Broderick, Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, epic film. And it tells the story of Robert Gould Shaw. And he was a white man, and he was became the first commanding officer of an all-black regiment. Gould himself was a passionate abolitionist, and he was all in on the plight to end slavery. And so he was proud to be just the commanding officer over this newly formed black regiment. He was proud, and he saw them as equals and exceptional men. And what they did is he was proud to lead them into battle and to eventually to die with them on the field of battle. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but the Union and the Confederate forces, that they would have moments of ceasefire during the war, that they could take the commanding officer's dead bodies and return them to the opposing army, that they might have a proper burial at their family's estate. But they denied Robert Gould's family that opportunity. Why? Because he chose to walk with a group of black men. And so the Union forces, they said he can rot in the grave with his other black comrades. And so as the war wore on and Union began to take territory into the South, they captured the land where Gould's body, where Shaw's body was buried. And they actually, the Union commanders, they sent back word to Shaw's parents, and they asked this: would you like us to remove your son's body and bring it back that he might have a proper burial? And I want to read for you the quote that his father says. His father says this. He says, no, we can imagine no holier place for the body of our son to lay. See, it was a holy place. He was honored to die on the battlefield with his African-American brothers. And I just want to say this, that men and women of color, that it's our honor to be on the battlefield and fighting alongside of you. Every Nation, New Jersey, this is our Kairos moment to help bring restoration and healing into a hurting world. Let me pray for us. Father, we just thank you. Lord, I thank you for this Kairos moment, God, that you've blessed us with, that you've entrusted us with. What a high honor. And Lord, I just declare in the name of Jesus that Every Nation New Jersey is going to rise up in this moment. And Lord, it's going to be to the glory of God and to the restoring of all that's broken in the earth. Father, we thank you and we believe you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Every Nation New Jersey.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.